The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and his son against his mother. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. St. Paul speaks about slavery. I became a slave in 1976. I'll tell you how. Me and my mother met a very, very holy woman who was really promoting true devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. So we read through True Devotion and we did the 33-day preparation. So on August 15th in St. Mary's Church in Hillsborough, New Hampshire, I became a slave to Mary. Amen, huh? And after that, I wanted to become a priest, so we know that Mary works in a very, very powerful way. Are you a slave? We can either be slaves to sin, or we can be slaves to Jesus and Mary. Amen? So we have to choose. But being a slave to Jesus and Mary is true liberty. Now, having read many commentaries, or some commentaries on true devotion, especially for Americans, to say something like that, to be a slave, for Americans, that's, as they say in Spanish, choca. It's shocking, because we think about what happened with Abraham Lincoln and the slave trade. And so many people, they were eliminated because of the whole idea of slavery back in the 1860s. And the death of Abraham Lincoln being shot on Good Friday. So culturally, if you say that to an American who knows American history, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Because that long history of suffering of our country comes to his consciousness. But if you say slavery to Jesus and Mary, that's true freedom. Because Jesus and Mary have to be the very center of our lives, and whatever they want us to do is going to be good for us. Right? Okay, so there's one idea in the first reading. The responsorial psalm, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Now, blessed are they who hope in the Lord is not like this. I hope so. Okay? I hope so. I hope so is not the same thing as blessed are those who hope in the Lord. I hope so means wishful thinking, okay? Whimsical, wishful thinking. Whereas the virtue of hope is often related to trials, persecutions, suffering, privations, where things seem to be falling apart. We're coming apart at our seams. Seems as if we're not going to make it. Seems as if we're like Peter sinking in the water. That's what true hope is. Hope is trusting in a God who allows us to go through fire and storms and tribulations. So if someone asks you, what is the virtue of hope? You don't just say, well, I hope so. Okay? It's not that. For the gospel reading, powerful. Jesus said, I've come to set the earth on fire. One of the biggest maladies in the modern world, the church, is lacking fire. Apathy, indifference, taking religion for granted. Young people would call it the whatever generation, or whatever, que me importa, right? The whatever generation. And the Bible warns us of the very serious dangers of this flippant, nonchalant, lackadaisical attitude that so many Catholics have. He said, you're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. Strong language. And the book of Revelation says, be careful. You have lost your first love. Return to your first love, otherwise I will take away your candelabra. Strong words. The great English poet, T.S. Eliot, who wrote the famous poem Wasteland, Ash Wednesday. T.S. Eliot said that the world will not go and end with a boom, but with a whimper. With a little whimper. What is he saying? Apathy. Indifference. Who cares? And all of us understand what I'm talking about. So much indifference and apathy. How on earth are we going to be instruments to set the world on fire? It's easier for us to sit here and have our arms crossed and be nodding and say, well, that sounds kind of nice, but it doesn't apply to me. Careful about that. Did any of you go to Mass yesterday? None of you went to Mass yesterday, huh? None of you remember the last verse, do you? He who has been given much has to give much in return. Those who will receive a lot have to give a lot. So we're receiving a lot. A lot. So we have to be generous. So how are we going to be fire shooters? St. Vincent de Ferrer says, a cold heart, fiery darts cannot shoot out of his mouth. If your heart is cold, how are you going to shoot fiery darts out of your mouth? You can't give what you don't have. You can't. So the key is this. The first novena. When was the first novena? 2,000 years ago. In the upper room. It's called the Cenacle. Who was there? It was the first charismatic meeting, huh? Who was there? The apostles and Mary. And what did they do for 9 days and 9 nights? They prayed. They fasted. They maintained silence. And then what happened? It was like an earthquake. The upper room was shaking like an earthquake. And then, talking about fire, what happened? Fire. I've come to cast fire. Fire descended on their heads. And that fire was the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way we're going to set this world on fire is we have to have an invasion of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I didn't say a trickling of the Holy Spirit, but an invasion. There's a big difference between trickling and an invasion. Invasion is a deluge. Invasion is not a couple of drops, but an ocean. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. There's no limits to the fire of the Holy Spirit that can enter into your hearts. If you're just open, you've got to be open. You've got to be open. There was a man that was somewhat of a deadbeat, worldly, vain, proud, cocky, arrogant, and his name was Francis Xavier. Francis Xavier. Ever hear of him? What happened? He didn't simply make a 9-day novena, he made a 30-day retreat with the master, Il Maestro. And that was Saint Ignatius Loyola. And after he finished that retreat, he was on fire. He was on fire. And after he was ordained a priest and ended up in Rome as Saint Ignatius' secretary, the Pope wanted to send people to India, Indonesia, China, Japan. And the words that Saint Ignatius said to Francis Xavier were, "Go set all on fire. Go set all on fire." And that's exactly what he did do. He set the world on fire. And it was just one man. What happened if we're 150 here this morning? We have a divine invasion of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves can set the whole world on fire. So let's turn to Mary. It was through her prayers that the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. And they began to set the whole world on fire. Pray for the grace we'll be able to cut through this indifference, this apathy among so many Catholics. Let's pray that starting today we'll be able to live out this very challenging gospel. Go set all on fire. Amen.